about evaluating our players, seeing what they can do best, and then the summer is going to be about evaluating our schemes and putting them then, therefore, in the best schemes we can with what we do. We're not going to try to force a square peg into a round hole. That doesn't make sense.
Give us an idea of what kind of defensive scheme you guys are likely to run.
You know, philosophically, that answer probably should come from Ted. However, you know, we're going to be multiple. You know, I think we're going to be, you know, one, a couple things. We're going to be multiple. We're going to be aggressive. You know, and aggressive doesn't mean we're just going to blitz. Aggressive means we're going to be attack-oriented in everything we do. We're going to try to disrupt in terms from a coverage standpoint. We're going to be multiple, and we're going to try to disrupt all of their timing and their spacing, try to affect quarterbacks with our ability to knock guys around, our ability to disguise things, our ability to close windows, our ability to mix man and zone. So, you know, we got to have an aggressive mentality with our guys that, we, you know, we're going to expect them to challenge from a coverage standpoint. We're going to expect them to challenge receivers and challenge offenses as we move forward. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's been extensive discussions about that. You know, I'm coming from a very, I don't know what the word is, but I'm coming from a pretty extensive special teams background. So I will be heavily involved. And the way Coach O'Brien wants to organize it is that I will kind of, you know, help get the thing off the ground, but we're all going to be involved. We're all going to have our own kind of phase that we're going to lead up. And I'm going to be involved with, you know, assisting everybody. And then I'll have my own phase that I'm responsible for as well, but it's going to be a collective effort, and those are the collective efforts on special teams are when it works the best, because everybody is involved. When you just have one guy as a special teams coordinator, everybody thinks it's, well, there's one guy and there's one voice. Well, sometimes you need 3, 4, 5 voices. You need all hands on deck with special teams. So with that, we're going to have a minimum of 5 coaches involved, and one coach specifically in charge of each unit, but 5 coaches working those units. So, you know, we're going to take an aggressive approach, just like we're going to do on defense. We're not going to have, you know, special teams is going to be an opportunity for us to establish field position, an opportunity for us to gain momentum going into the next series, and that's what our kids are going to have to understand, and Billy is in full support of that. Understands coming from the NFL, you know, special teams – in the NFL wins football games based on a punter being able to punt the ball down, defenses being on long fields. But obviously we're going to have to find some great return guys as well. But it's going to be an aspect of our program that we're all involved in collectively as a coaching staff. And the players are going to be collectively involved in as well.
Coach, what was appealing about this job coming from South Carolina? You guys had a pretty good season. What made you want to come up here?
Well, you know, we had the best season in the history of South Carolina football. Coach Spurrier is an unbelievable boss, you know, all-time, you know, Hall of Fame football coach. But I'm from here, okay? So I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I know that, you know, I know that Penn State football is, you know, when it comes to having an opportunity to coach football at the highest level, Penn State football not only is one of the best college jobs in the country, maybe one of the best football jobs in the country, better than a lot of pro jobs, with the resources that this place has, with the opportunities to recruit, you know, with the unbelievably rich tradition and history established by Coach Paterno and his former players and coaches. I mean, to me, it was a no-brainer. My wife is from Texas, and she's moved around with me a little bit, and when we discussed it, and we had the opportunity for my son, who's 1 year old, to be around my family, that was, you know, an even bonus part of the equation. But to me, it was, you know, a no-brainer. I've told people, if I could have said 19 years ago when I started my coaching career that in 19 years I'd be coaching at Penn State, a lot of people would be shaking their heads. And, you know, some days I wake up and I am. So for people to ask me that question, it's like in recruiting. This is one of the best places in football, to play football and coach football, without question, you know, and all the other things aside, if you want to play football at the highest level and coach football at the highest level, coming to a place like Penn State is a no-brainer.
Did you follow Penn State closely when you were growing up?
I did. You know, where I grew up in Montgomery County, I went to I grew up in a Catholic school system, and you basically rooted for Penn State or Notre Dame or both, and I was a big Penn State fan. You know, I have a family connection. Not family, but a friend, a connection with a family in town, the Conlins, who a lot of people know. The oldest Conlin was on the '86 national championship team when they beat Miami. And then the middle son was is one of my best friends, Keith. He lives here in town. And then a younger son, Kevin, played here. So all three of them played here, and we would go over their house, and I told everybody, and this is not an exaggeration, I think we've watched that championship game on VHS 100 times. So, you know, I understand what it takes from watching it and then even then coaching it. You know, you always wanted your guys, when you coached them, to play like the kids that you saw playing at Penn State. You know, tough, hard-nosed, physical, you know, wear you out, compete to the last play type guys. And, you know, so.
Being with Coach Fitzgerald at South Carolina, you've seen what his method can do. How would you describe how what you're doing in the weight room with these guys right now translates to the football field?
Yeah. You know, I was with Coach Fitz at Harvard for 4 years, and, you know, in two of his 4 years there, they won an Ivy League championship and dominated the league with how physical they played. Then I moved on and went to Minnesota. He stayed, and then we met back up at South Carolina. So we're training the guys under his direction to develop strength, explosiveness, power, all the things that are directly, you know, proportional to success, on the football field. So that's what he's always done. Plus you add the energy I mentioned earlier, add the energy, the enthusiasm, the people skills. You know, all these kids, if you ask these kids, you know, they'll tell you that it's hard, but they're all feeling the benefits of it already. And, you know, that's when it comes to the football aspect of our jobs, you've got to have a great strength coach because they're with the guys more than the coaches. You know, by NCAA rules, there's limitations on how much time we as coaches can spend with them. So you've got to have a great strength coach that develops those guys from a football and physical standpoint, but also from a mental and intangible standpoint, teaches them and, you know, encourages them to compete, you know, which is what I think what he does, what separates him from some other guys is he develops competitors. You know, kids have it inside of them, but he gets it out of them.
Would you say this model of training is more an exception or norm in football?
More the norm. Absolutely. More the, you know, in terms of the training and the exercises they're doing, I would say it's more the norm. That what separates him and from others is how he does it, how he goes about it, the personal aspect of anything. It's like anything else in business. Everybody's selling the same product a lot of times. But the people that present it in a better way, the people that are better communicators, and have a better appeal to how they do it, that's what separates you from the competition.
You come in here, have you had a chance to really break down the personnel that you have?
Well, you know, I know who they are. I've watched them on video, but I don't want to watch them too much on video because it may not be applicable to what we're going to be asking them to do fundamentally, but I have a good idea based on that. I've spent a lot of time, obviously, with these morning workouts. We've had 6 or 8 of them now. So you're out there, you get a chance to see how they can move, their athleticism, their speed, their change of direction, you know, how they're going to compete. More important, like, you know, it's easy. Today was an easier one because you guys were all out there, the cameras, they have a little extra energy. But later on, as it got going, you know, then they're going to be tired and it all falls back onto their, you know, their will and their competitiveness. So it's been a process. But as I said earlier, those 15 spring practices that we have are going to be, especially as the new staff, they're invaluable because you can really see what they are as football players. You know, in football, it's such a different sport than any other sport. I played, you know, football, basketball, and baseball growing up, and then football and basketball in college. But there's no other sport like football in terms of it's about football practice, you know, because there's a physicality element that you can go out there and throw passes and catch passes and do all that other stuff, but if you don't add the element of contact and practice and tackling and blocking, you don't know who these kids are. So that's going to be the biggest test and evaluation piece is how good of football players are they?